everyone. This is Barbara Thompson, and I want to welcome you to the Back on Track TELUS Seminar for April 23rd, 2006. This evening we're going to be discussing food, all sorts of issues about food. We have a lot of people on the line. Many people have sent in questions, and I'm going to be addressing them. But basically we're going to be talking about food in terms of how much to eat, what we should be eating, and when we should be eating. And, you know, I remember when I used to smoke, and I'm sure there are a lot of you out there who smoked and quit smoking. And I was a very, very heavy smoker, and I thought I would never be able to quit. So, you know, some of you are probably going to identify with this. The way I was able to quit was I had to do it cold turkey. I had to completely quit smoking altogether, and that is the only way I was able to do it. When I was smoking, if I tried cutting down on my cigarettes, that never seemed to work. I just wasn't able to cut down. The only way I could deal with smoking, getting away from it, was to completely quit. With food, we don't have that ability. We can't quit eating. We have to eat. So it comes down to a matter of control, dealing with it in our lives, dealing with it in terms of portions, dealing with it in terms of healthy choices. So we have a much, much tougher job with food. And I know everybody has questions about the capacity. How much should I be eating? There's always a concern, am I going to be stretching my pouch out? Now remember, for those of us who have had gastric bypass surgery, when your stomach is formed, your new pouch is formed, it is formed at the base of your esophagus from the tissue that is at the top of your stomach. Now remember, before you had your surgery, you would eat a whole lot of food, maybe really binge one day. I don't know, probably some of you did that. I know I certainly would eat just a huge quantity of food. And the next day, after you had this full, this huge quantity of food, probably think to yourself, oh, wow, I'm so hungry today. My stomach feels so empty. Plus, I bet I have stretched my stomach. And you had that feeling of having this great big balloon of a stomach and stretching it, so the capacity was a lot larger, and then wondering, gee, how am I going to get this kind of back into the place where it was? So we still really have a lot of that feeling when we are approaching our pouch now in its new altered state. However, that tissue, that stomach tissue that is at the base of the esophagus, is much more resistant to stretching than is the bottom of the stomach, which, of course, is now bypassed. So you have more rigid tissue, so that when you're eating, you get much, much more of a sense of fullness than you did before you had your surgery. You have often a feeling of, it's almost like a painful feeling that you get in your chest, or you should be getting, that will signal you that you are reaching your capacity. And a lot of people will say to me, well, I'm concerned that I am stretching my pouch. Well, you're going to stretch your pouch a little bit over time, but really not that much. What you do stretch, however, is that opening that goes from the pouch to the small intestines. That stoma is what stretches. And it's not a good thing when that stretches, because initially after surgery, it's the size of a dime. It should be the size of a dime. And because it's so small, it keeps food in that pouch for a longer period of time. So your sense of fullness and your sense of satiety lasts a longer period of time. Now, over time, if you are putting more food in your pouch, then than what your pouch can really hold. Instead of stretching out that pouch, it kind of like pushes through that opening, and there's a tendency to stretch that opening so that if it stretches too much, food goes into your pouch and then flows much, much too easily into your intestines, and you don't get that sense of fullness like you used to. So that's what the real concern is. And when people have revisions to their pouch, they don't have so much a smaller pouch made as they have a tightening of that opening into the intestines. So that's what really limits your capacity, is that opening. Now, initially, you know, right after you have your surgery, it's 1 to 2 ounces, but over time, you're eating more and more. In fact, a whole lot more. You're eating a cup and a half, certainly, at one time. Now, I know, you know, my husband will sometimes say to me, he's surprised at how much I can eat. But when your capacity is like a cup and a half, and you think of your pouch as maybe now being the size of a very small fist, you have to realize that you're chewing your food. Food doesn't go into that pouch in its whole state. You're not eating it whole. You're chewing it, and that causes that amount of food to shrink down. So I don't know if any of you have any of these like mini choppers or you have a grinder. If you would take an amount of food and put it into a chopper or a grinder and then kind of measure the capacity that it was before and what it looks like now, that it's made into a finer, more of a paste-like consistency, you can see how you can get a whole lot more into that pouch than, you know, what it looks like on your plate. So when you think of capacity, that could be very, very deceiving. Also, the capacity of your pouch will depend on when you had your surgery. If you had your surgery much more recently, the capacity is much smaller than when your pouch was made a number of years ago. For instance, my pouch was made 6.5 years ago. My surgeon is making a much, much smaller pouch now with his patients because, you know, not as much was known about weight loss surgery. Surgeons were concerned about making the pouch too small, concerned that patients weren't going to get in enough nutrition. So they were kind of erring on the side of safety, of being making sure that their patients were safe and making that pouch a little bit larger. And then over the years, they've made it smaller and smaller and smaller, realizing that patients can be just as healthy with a smaller pouch. As far as calories are concerned, you want to make sure that you're anywhere from, say, 900 to 1,200 calories. And, you know, on the higher end, you're going to be losing at a much slower rate. When you get into the maintenance side, you're looking 1,200 to 1,500 calories. Now, that's really very, very subjective. I mean, it depends on your height. It depends on your overall weight. It depends on your muscle mass. It depends on definitely on how active you are, how much exercising you're getting. So all of that comes into play. That's why all of those numbers are, you know, a wide range. In terms of what you should be eating, definitely you want to be eating protein first at any meal. And I want to address one of the questions that I received. It really made me laugh. And it's from Suzanne. I don't know if Suzanne is on the line. And when I unmute everybody, Suzanne, if you're there, please say hi. But I love this question from her. What happens if I don't eat much protein? Will I explode or something? What happens when you don't eat enough protein is, first of all, you don't have as much muscle mass as you would if you're eating enough protein. 60 50 grams of protein allows you to maintain the muscle mass that you have. Maintaining that muscle mass is so important because that will dictate what your metabolism is. The less muscle mass you have, the lower your metabolism is going to be. So, Suzanne, it comes down to you're not going to explode, but you're not going to lose weight as fast. You're not going to be able to maintain your weight as well if you have a lower muscle mass. And that is why, you know, I talk to a lot of people who have their surgery and they lose a whole lot of weight, and at the end of the year they're saying to me, well, you know, look, I lost 125, maybe 140 pounds, and I didn't even have to exercise. Well, that's all well and good for your first year, but that is the very, very person who's going to come to a screeching halt and not be able to lose more weight, will have these long periods of plateaus because their metabolism is now so much lowered because they haven't exercised, they haven't gotten in all of the protein that they need to maintain that muscle mass. So that's why eating protein is so important. It's also so important because eating protein ensures that you're not eating carbohydrates, so that you don't have these spikes in your blood sugar level. When you have the spikes in your blood sugar level, what you get from eating carbohydrates, simple carbohydrates, that causes you to have carbohydrate cravings when your blood sugar level drops. And that's where you get into a whole lot of trouble. So when you talk about what you should be eating, it's proteins. It is really trying very hard to stay away from simple carbohydrates. The carbohydrates that you eat should be complex carbohydrates, and they should have a low glycemic index. Now, when I get into the chapter of the low glycemic index, and it's very, very early on in the lessons, I do recommend that people get the small South Beach diet book that lists a whole lot of low glycemic index foods. There's also a reference in there to the it's a low glycemic website. I think it is the South Beach. Let me see. I have lesson two in front of me. Hold on while I leaf to it. There's a reference to an internet site, and I'm just not finding it right now. And when I open up the line, if somebody knows what it is, please feel free to shout it out. But there is that low glycemic index website that you can go to that will list a whole lot of low glycemic foods as well. Oh, and by the way, eating and drinking, remember, you know, this comes from the very, very basic things that you first learned when you were going through, you know, getting information about how you should eat, getting this from your surgeons. Don't eat and drink at the same time. And it's kind of easy to get away from that very, very simple idea of not eating and drinking at the same time. And what causes more problems than anything is eating afterwards, because you have your food sitting in your pouch, and if you then start to drink, what that does is it pushes the food out of your pouch into your intestines. It kind of washes it through, and that is definitely something you don't want to happen, because you want that food to lie in your pouch as long as possible. And you don't want to drink before, because you then have your pouch filled up with liquid, and you add the food in there. You get this sense of, gee, I'm full, and then the liquid is seeping out of your pouch into your small intestines, so that your pouch is emptying faster because that liquid is getting out of there. So you start out, like, right after you're finished eating, with this sense of fullness, and that leaves you too fast, and then you have a feeling not long after you've eaten of being hungry. So eating and drinking should not be done at the same time after you've had surgery. Okay. There's also a question of when should I be eating? And there are really two schools of thought. One is, and I know a lot of you have heard this from your surgeons. In fact, somebody wrote in this question, my surgeon said, don't eat except when I'm hungry. And she writes, then what I am finding is, if I don't eat except when I'm hungry, I'm nibbling, I'm grazing, because I don't have set times to eat. So should I be just eating when I'm hungry, or should I eat at set times? I guess I would say I'm a believer of eating at somewhat set times. Most of us live with other people. And it's unrealistic to think that, oh, well, you're going to make a really nice meal for yourself when you're hungry, something that is very, very healthy, that contains protein and it has your vegetables, everything is there for your main meal. But say your spouse is hungry at a different time, so then your spouse is going to have to make that same meal, and your children, you know, the same thing. Life just does not happen that way. So in some respects, you have to time when you're going to have the meals when everybody tends to be hungry. In our house, we tend to eat between 6 and 6:30. It just works out in life that way. And, you know, we have our set meal time. I tend to eat breakfast a little bit later than I should. I don't eat at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. I usually don't have my breakfast until about 9:30. I don't like to go any later than that, because the later you eat, the slower your metabolism is going to be. You need that fuel first thing in the morning. You need to break that fast with fuel for your body, so that you're keeping your metabolism going. I always have the same thing for breakfast, and I know it's not good to have the same food all the time, but I find this so good for me and so satisfying. What I have is a hard-boiled egg. And then later on, I'll have a piece of fruit as kind of a late morning snack, and then I'll have my lunch later than that. But I have density, I have a protein, and it just makes me feel good, keeps me going. So, you know, I'm not as much of a believer as eat just when you're hungry. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to unmute all the lines and see if anybody has any questions up to this point. Okay, how's everybody doing out there? Does anybody have any comments or questions they'd like to ask?
Barbara, I can give you that website for the food list that you wanted.
Oh, thank you so much. Go ahead, Frank.
Standard HTTP /www.southbeachplan.com/food_list.html.
Now, Frank, that is in lesson two, isn't that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's very, very close to the end of the lesson two.
Okay, all right. So all of you, it's a clickable link. You'll be able to click onto it right from lesson two.
Barbara, I tuned in a little bit late. Did you happen to address the issue about my peanut cravings?
Oh, no. I haven't gotten into that yet. So let me do that. Is this Linda?
No, Kathy.
Kathy, okay.
I just had lesson two this week.
Okay. I got it. All right. And Kathy, you also had that question about eating when you're hungry.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that was your question one. So do you have any comments that you want to make about what I just said?
No, I think that's good what I've heard. I think it'll help me get on track, and it'll just help, just like you said, my life easier, preparing for my family also at the same time,
mm-hmm.
keeping them in mind also.
Right. Okay. The other thing that Kathy says is she finds that she's craving peanuts. She's fallen in love with them. She finds that they fill her up. problem is she eats them all day long. She substitutes them for lunch sometimes. How bad are these for me, and is there any reason why I crave them? You know, I'm not sure why you crave them. That, you know, the whole, gosh, they look so good, the oil, the salt, you know, it could have something that you might have. Are they salted? I should ask you that.
Yes.
Okay. You may have a little bit of a craving for salt, and you may not be getting enough. That might be one of the reasons. I know I got into a little bit of that myself with raw almonds. Frank really likes to eat raw almonds, and we would get kind of a plastic container of them, and they would be right on the kitchen counter. And I found that I was doing somewhat the same thing. I was dipping into them.
Yes.
And I did that until I discovered how many calories are in nuts. Because they are all oil. They are extremely high in calories. Now, if you go to a low glycemic index list, you'll find that they are allowed because they're low in carbohydrates. They're allowed, but there's a little parentheses next to them, and they say limit them to 20 peanuts a day.
Maybe I need to count them out for a while.
You need to count them out. You definitely do, because I'll tell you, they can absolutely kill you with the number of calories you're getting in. I know how you feel. They're very satisfying. They are so good, but they're deadly in the number of calories they have.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Any other questions that we have right now?
Yeah, I have one.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. My name's Annie.
Annie, hi.
I just have two questions quickly. I just want to be sure it's okay that I have the lap band, and I just hope it's okay that I'm in this group.
I am so glad you're in this group. There are two other people who have had lap band, and they are definitely looking for more lap band people. And Annie, I just want to apologize to you for so many references to, you know, the pouch. But you have somewhat a similar situation.
Yes.
Because your pouch is not made so much surgically as it, or the stoma is not made so much surgically as it is made from the tightening of the band. So anatomy-wise, you're very, very similar without the bypass. So welcome. I'm so glad you're with us, Annie.
Because I've attended some groups in the city that have, you know, I've been sitting there and they're just saying, oh, how awful the lap band is, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, and I just want to be sure that it's okay.
No, you are okay, and I'm a great believer in you need to have the kind of surgery that suits you. And I don't believe in there is one surgery that is best for everybody. Now, it is still true that 80% of the weight loss surgeries are the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass surgery. Well, at least it used to be that way. Lap bands are really increasing in popularity. And, you know, some studies are showing that in the long run, like way down the road, that we all kind of even out in terms of our weight loss. And just as an aside, and excuse me the rest of the folks who haven't had a lap band, but the really important thing with the lap band is that you are in close communication with your surgeon and get your fills regularly and have that band checked, because if you don't, then the band is not going to work for you.
Right.
So I actually think that people who have lap bands need far more follow-up even mm-hmm. than people who have had gastric bypass surgery. So do you have a question that you want to ask, Annie?
I like the craving for the peanuts. I have a very similar craving. I mean, I never in my life, I mean, I was always on diets. So I never ate bacon. And
mm-hmm.
now I have this mad craving for... Every once in a while, it's not every day, but a mad craving for bacon, and it's almost like like a drug addict. I have to get somewhere and get bacon, and I think it must be the salt.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure out any other thing because it's so intense.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing also, when I first came out of surgery, I wanted to smoke again. I used to smoke, and I was dying for a cigarette after surgery because I wasn't eating. And now I've had to struggle with the alcohol. I never had a drink in my life. My father was an alcoholic at his house. I never drank, and I never did. But now I'm craving alcohol. And
you know, I don't know, Annie, if you saw the request that I sent out, not this past newsletter, but the...
Yes.
I have gotten so many responses about that, and I am collecting all of them together. I think many of us have obsessive or compulsive personalities, and we tend to overdo whatever we're doing at the time. And many of us have replaced our food obsession with other obsessions. I mean, even to the extent with some people, it's an obsession with sex. A lot of people are having this obsession with alcohol. So they're replacing their food with alcohol and are literally becoming alcoholics. And I think it's important that we start talking about this so that it doesn't sneak up on people.
Right.
So, you know, it could be that you have a salt craving. I don't know. I've never heard of a salt obsession. But, you know, you may want to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really it's not that bad to have bacon every so often. I mean, if you fry a piece of bacon until it's crisp, I think the calorie level is 35 calories. So it's not as deadly as we would think. It's just kind of keeping it in line. You know, not eating a pound of bacon, maybe eating a slice or two when you get that feeling that you really need to have bacon.
Right.
Does somebody else have a question?
This is Dan. Got somebody else off. How do you get around sugar? Because I'm eating candy, and I need to know how to get off the candy.
Okay. Who's this who's speaking?
This is Suzanne.
S-U-Z-A-N?
Yes.
Okay. Hi. I was wondering if you were going to make it. Okay. Okay. And that, I'm just looking at what you sent me. And that wasn't on the list, so that's in addition to the questions that you have. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Suzanne, can I ask, did you hear my explanation about what happens if I don't eat much protein while I explode or something?
Yeah.
Okay, you were on for that.
I need to eat more protein. In fact, I'm boiling eggs as we speak.
Good. Okay, good. All right. You know, and somebody else had a question. Let's see. Linda. Is Linda on the line?
I'm here.
Okay. Linda, you were saying that you have a sweet tooth.
Right.
Okay. Okay, Linda says, I ate nothing but protein for the first 9 months and then began adding very small amounts of vegetables like salad, carrots, potatoes, and fruit, grapes, and bananas. It led to my trying granola, which I know is a killer. Yes, you are absolutely correct, Linda. It is a killer. Even if it's low fat, then soy chips, rice cakes. All these scare me because I think I'm headed down the old path of eating just junk-type food. I'm also afraid I'll gain weight. And you had also a question in there about how do you get away from how do you deal with that sweet tooth? So I'm going to answer Suzanne and Linda, both of you at the same time. One of the ways, there are a couple of ways to get around that. There are some low glycemic index fruits that you can eat, and I highly recommend substituting those. Now, I don't know, Linda, I don't know if it was you. Somebody mentioned eating grapes and bananas. Was that you?
Me. Yes.
Okay. Grapes are okay. Bananas definitely are not okay. Bananas have a high glycemic index. They will cause your blood sugar level to spike and will make you hungry. Grapes are okay. The problem with grapes is it is just too easy to keep eating them and eating them. You know, you can just pop a grape in and a grape in and a grape in. A better thing to do with grapes is to freeze them. so that you eat them one at a time, but you eat them a lot more slowly. Other very good fruits to eat, strawberries are excellent, and we're certainly in strawberry season. In fact, I don't know, in Pennsylvania, we're always getting the California strawberries and the Mexico strawberries. It seems like strawberries are always in season, and they're always delicious. You can put, you know, some artificial sweetener on them if you really feel the need, but strawberries will help your sweet tooth. Oranges, apples, blueberries, peaches, pears, plums, cantaloupes, all of those are very, very good. Let me just repeat those. Apart from the frozen grapes, strawberries, oranges, apples, blueberries, peaches, pears, plums, and cantaloupe. Now, of course, you can't eat those in just massive quantities. You need to account for all of them in, you know, how many calories you're getting in. Another thing that you can try is sugar-free Jell-O and sugar-free popsicles. And Suzanne, if you're one of the ways to get away from candy, other than totally stopping, is sugar-free hard candy.
Okay.
Look into a little bit of that. But you need to parcel it out. You know, you don't want to just have an open bag and just be popping this in. Account for it. But, you know, frankly, sugar-free hard candy, I think, is very, very good. So that might help you as well. Let me see. Suzanne, some of the other questions that you have. This was a really interesting question, Suzanne. Do we ever get to the point where we eat almost the same as normal people? If we have reached our goal and are eating normal people portions, is something wrong? Well, if you're talking about normal people in terms of normal weight people, if you're eating the same portion as they are, then that might mean that you're eating what you should be eating to maintain your weight. I wouldn't worry as much about portions as I would as much about calories, because you can eat larger portions of the foods that are volumetrics. That's the word I'm trying to think of. And some of you may have come to that lesson in the program where I talk about volumetrics and foods that are very high in water, and you can eat a whole lot more of them. If you have a feeling like you're not eating foods, like enough food, enough of a capacity of food, you need more food to sustain you, look for foods that are higher in water content. So in terms of size, like if I were thinking of a salad, if you were going to have a chef salad, something like that, a cup and a half of, you know, salad greens and everything that goes in there, and then on top of that maybe have some grilled chicken or some cold shrimp. But you have to let your own body be your guide. You don't know if... You know, I don't know what size your pouch is, and you probably don't know either, or what it maybe has increased to. You have to go by that physical feeling that you have in your chest, that you have a feeling like, I've eaten enough, and I feel like I'm satisfied. You really, really have to learn to listen to your body. Suzanne, another thing that you say is, I mean, and this is just so, I am eating too many carbohydrates and I'm hungry all the time. Well, yes, and that's exactly what happens. You eat carbohydrates, the carbohydrates turn into sugar, causes your blood sugar level to spike, and then when your blood sugar level drops down, your body says, hey, I kind of like that. I liked that feeling of a little bit more energy and having my blood sugar level up there. So do it again. Give me more of those carbohydrates. So that is why simple carbohydrates will make you hungry. And you need to, when you eat carbohydrates, eat complex carbohydrates. And Susan, you're relatively new in the program. Really take a very, very close look at that low glycemic index chapter, and I think that that will help you a lot. Let me go on to another question here. This is from Linda. If we're trying to get out of the diet mentality, how do I count for portion size? Do I still need to weigh and measure out 4 ounces of protein or 2 ounces of carbs? Am I getting ahead, and will this be addressed in journaling homework assignment? Yes, Linda, you're absolutely correct. You still do need to weigh and measure, and this does get addressed in journaling. And the reason why you have to do that is, if you don't, studies have shown that you will overestimate the amount of food that you're getting in by at least 30%. So, unfortunately, weighing and measuring, and you don't necessarily have to do it every day, but you should do it at least once a week. So you're kind of getting back into portion size, and it reminds you how big a half a cup is or what a 4-ounce piece of meat looks like. So, yeah, you definitely have to do that. Is Stephanie on the line? Stephanie, are you there? Okay. Stephanie wrote in and says, how does caffeine impact weight loss? Why are we told to avoid caffeine? We're told to avoid caffeine because caffeine is a diuretic. A diuretic means that whatever you take in, you're going to urinate out. That can end up dehydrating you. You want to make sure that your body stays hydrated. We're told, like the first lesson, back to basics, make sure you're getting in enough water. That is so that all of your internal organs stay hydrated and they do the work that they should be doing. One of the functions of your internal organs is to burn fat. So you want to make sure that all of these organs are functioning properly and burning all of the fat that they can be burning. So that is why you want to stay away from that caffeine. She also asks about diet soda. What are your thoughts? Should we avoid diet soda, diet cola drinks entirely, or can we include them? I think that you should avoid diet colas as much as you possibly can. There are studies that have shown that artificial sweeteners tend to make you hungry. So the less of these sweeteners that you have in your diet, the greater chance you'll have of not being hungry. There are also studies that were done in the 1990s that show that the phosphoric acid in diet sodas cause you to leach calcium from your bones. So, you know, that's not good at all. And if you look at the carbonation, I know, you know, there are some practices that say, well, you can just let the carbonation sit out and all of it will go away and then you'll be able to drink it. But what happens, even if you let it sit out, when you drink it, you're actually warming it up to your own body temperature, which is a lot higher than outside temperature, and that causes more carbonation to be released, which causes an expansion of the pouch and the stoma. So if you can, it is much, much better to avoid diet soda. Now, her final question here is, do you recommend small protein snacks like fat-free cheese in the afternoon or evening? Yeah, actually, I do. I think, you know, again, as long as you're accounting for all of this, I think it is a good idea to have planned snacks. Now, this is not grazing. This is planned snacks because it will actually keep your metabolism up and your blood sugar level at an even keel. And that is always good. But there is a real balance that you have to play between grazing and planned snacks. And you need to not kid yourself about that. So the snacks are good if you keep your to keep your metabolism up, to keep you from getting too hungry. I know, and I've mentioned this on another teleseminar. I have a friend who was, and she has not had surgery. I would always marvel at how little she seemed to be eating. And she confessed to me one time, when she gets home, she is absolutely famished because she's not eating all day. She gets home at like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night when they're her late nights. She eats everything in sight. And that's because she's allowed herself to get too hungry. And she was getting into a real problem with her weight. Don't do that. Don't wait until you're famished. And then you'll have no control over yourself. So, yeah, I am a real believer. And two of my favorite snacks are deli ham, which has about 30 calories a slice, and that Laughing Cow cheese. I just love that stuff. It comes in packaged wedges, so you have to actually unwrap it. You've got to peel off that foil, and that is so good because it slows you down. That has about 35 calories a wedge, and they are so filling. So those are excellent snacks to have.
Can I interrupt for a minute?
Yeah.
It's Linda.
Hi, Linda.
First of all, I want to tell you, I tried your pinwheels with the string cheese.
Yes.
Not the Laughing Cow, and it's awesome.
Oh, you know, I never tried it with string cheese.
Yeah, it was absolutely awesome. You know,
okay.
It went a long way, and I was able to space my meal out with it. So
oh,
thank
good.
You for that. My question goes back to hydration.
Mm-hmm.
Over the winter, I started drinking a lot of hot tea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and didn't get in water as much as I did prior to the, you know, cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
Is tea considered, you know, part of the fluid intake, or do I still need to drink, you know, 6 to 4 ounces of water and then whatever else I want to drink?
Yeah, it's, are you eating, or are you drinking herbal tea or decaffeinated tea?
Unfortunately, I'm not sure if it's caffeinated or not.
Okay.
Tea.
Mm-hmm. You know, switch to herbal or decaf tea, and definitely, you know, count that in your water intake.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any other questions out there?
I have a question.
Okay, who's this?
Catherine in Florida.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I was wondering, I'm having a really hard time getting up enough energy to do the exercise that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Insofar as I'll walk into the gym and I have an hour with a trainer and I've already walked 4 miles and I'm going in there, you know, like, ugh. And I find that if I have some oatmeal before and I put some juice in my water,
mm-hmm.
That's great.
Okay.
My surgeon has told me that he wants me on 100 grams of protein a day.
Wow.
35 grams of carbohydrates. Well, there's no way that I can do the whole day and 35 grams of carbohydrates if I've had oatmeal and
mm-hmm.
juice. So I'm really kind of stuck.
Yeah. Why 100 grams of protein? Does he recommend that to everyone, or is he recommending that to you?
Well, I'm 6 feet tall, and I'm not a small person. Maybe that's
okay.
Why. And he wants me to weigh 150 calories. I'm sorry, 150 pounds is my goal.
Mm-hmm.
So
how close are you to that?
I'm probably 60 calories away. I'm 60 pounds away, and I'm having a hard time getting anywhere. Right now, I'm kind of locked up in a long-term plateau. About a pound a week. So,
I'll tell you.
I go to my doctor and she'll say, how much weight did you lose?
Yeah.
Well, I've lost 12 pounds in the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of slow.
Well, I don't know. I think your surgeon said that's kind of slow?
Yeah.
Well,
everybody's thinking that's kind of slow. My primary care physician's thinking it's kind of slow. Well, because
you know what, I absolutely,
everybody's fussing at me, and I'm doing the best I can.
I absolutely hate to disagree with doctors, with surgeons, but I don't know if you can hear this, but that's your applause, Catherine.
Thanks.
You know, 12 pounds in 3 months. I think you're
yeah,
doing great.
Yeah, I've lost 150 pounds, and now I'm just on my last 60 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm pulling teeth. I'm working my little heart out doing exercise and trying to stay within everybody's guidelines.
Well,
I swear, if I eat a yogurt, I feel like I've crucified Christ.
One of the problems, Catherine, is trying to get in 100 grams of protein. That's going to be really tough for you.
You know what I've started to do? They have tubes of protein. I don't know if you've seen them. They're just like Kool-Aid in a science tube.
Mm-mm.
So that's 25 grams of protein with no carbs.
Mm-hmm.
So I sucked down one of those for one of my snacks.
Okay, how many calories does it have?
It has 100.
That is excellent. Okay.
So with that and then the 25 grams I have for my protein drink after I exercise in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it's 26. My life is numbers. I hate this. And then 25, and then I'll have about 15 grams at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to have a piece of fish with spinach salad at night.
Wow. Excellent.
So I'm just cramming in barely 100 grams, but staying within the 35 grams of carbohydrates is almost laughable some days.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go to a regular nutritionist, that's why I asked about Linda Tate's name,
mm-hmm.
because you go to a regular nutritionist and they say, well, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. They start chirping at me and I'm going, no, you don't understand. This is a bariatric surgery. I'm supposed to be doing a certain program and I just can't do it.
Well, let me ask you about your oatmeal. Is it the kind of oatmeal that you have to cook?
Yes.
Okay. It's not the instant oatmeal.
No. Well, it's semi-instant. It's the steel that you find in the organic section. It is, it's 125 calories for a half a cup of dry, and you mix it with a cup of water and... This is probably boring all the rest of you to tune.
How long do you cook it?
Cook it for 3 minutes in the microwave. It's not the kind you cook for 20 minutes because I'm a lawyer and I can't do that. I don't have the time in the day.
Okay.
I have to prepare for court.
Yeah, well, what's happening is that the...
I'm telling you, I'm starving by the time I eat it, though. I've noticed it makes me really hungry, so I think it is the glycemic index.
Have you had your iron levels checked?
My iron level?
Uh-huh.
No, they check everything every 3 months. I don't know what they check, but everything seems fine.
Okay, all right.
After I stopped losing my hair and got my EFA levels up.
And you're taking vitamins?
Oh,
a good multivitamin.
Vista vitamins and... all kinds of, additional...
Okay, all right.
Vitamins.
Well, I mean, the reason that oatmeal is helping you is it's giving your... It is a carbohydrate. It's not the slow-cooking kind. So it is boosting your blood sugar level, which is giving you enough energy to exercise.
Okay.
So, you know, you just may have a trade-off there that you're going to need to do. I would really... Have you worked out what how many calories you're getting in?
About 1,800, but I work off so many doing all the exercise.
Yeah.
That it's kind of a toss, really.
Why you're on.
If I have the 1,200, I won't be able to lift weight.
Well, but that's why you're on a plateau. Can you take it down to 1,500?
I can try.
Okay. Just, you know,
work
on that and see if you can. I'm going to, I want to interrupt here right now because I want to talk to all of you about a big change that I'm making in the Back on Track program, and I want to get some feedback from you. One of the big disappointments to me in this program is how the forums have been working. I haven't been happy with them at all. There are too few people who are going on the forums, and And I think it's because it's one of those out of sight, out of mind things. It's hard to remember to go on them. And then when you do, there are so many categories that you don't know where to put your question in. And frankly, what I find is that some of the questions get buried. And I'll think that I'm going to every single category and commenting on everybody's questions or, you know, following up with some comments. And a week or two later, I'll come upon one, I don't know how I missed it. But, you know, and it's kind of like, did you ever play it's a game of trust, and you're standing, and you're supposed to fall backward, and somebody's supposed to catch you. And
transactional analysis, yeah.
And then if they don't catch you, you know, it's really a tragedy because you put all of your trust into this person catching you. So, you know, you're going onto the forums, you're putting your question in, you're bearing your soul, you're really talking about a problem you're having, and then nobody responds. So that can be very, very discouraging. So what we're going to do is we're going to scrap the forum, and we're going to go to a Yahoo group. Now, how many of you belong to a Yahoo group?
I don't.
I do know.
Is there anybody who does?
Yes.
You do? Just one person? Okay. And we're going to see how this works. We're going to try it out, but I think it will really be an answer. The Yahoo group is going to be Back on Track with Barbara, and it's only going to be for members of the mentoring program and also the maintenance program. And you go on the Yahoo group and you post a question, and then the question goes through email to every single person in the group. And you can elect to get your emails one of two ways. You can get them as people post them, which frankly I don't recommend, or you can elect to get them as a digest form once a day. So you will be getting once a day a list of questions or comments that people have made. And you can elect to comment on them, read them, or, you know, if you don't have time, just delete them. But I think that it will get a lot more interest in people communicating with each other and give people a lot more of a sense of community. So does anybody have any comments on that?
My only concern, it's Linda, unfortunately, I don't have a computer at home anymore. So the computer I use is at work, and I don't know if there's going to be any kind of firewall or something going into a Yahoo group. I'll have to find out.
Okay.
That's my only concern.
Uh-huh.
It sounds great.
Yeah, I think that I would be very surprised, but let me know if you have any trouble with it.
I sure will.
Okay.
Barbara, this is Frank. I just wanted to add, within the next 24 hours, we're going to be getting a message out to everybody that will be basically the steps to sign up for the Yahoo, to be a part of Yahoo, because there's actually two steps to do this. You have to be a part of Yahoo, and then once you be a Yahoo member, you then you go to the Back on Track group, and you join that group. So we'll be getting instructions out to everybody on how to do this, and this will have to be something that you'll have to do to get into the group. Now, bear with us. Barbara and I have both been a part of Yahoo groups for quite a while, but this is the first time that we're going to be moderating the group, and so kind of bear with us as we kind of work through this growing stage ourselves.
And I guess
question.
Sure, go right ahead.
Is there a cost for this? Yes.
No, it's free.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
It's all free.
Yeah, it's definitely it's all free. I do want to mention that our next teleseminar is going to be Sunday, May 21st at 8 p.m. And does somebody have any thoughts on what they would like me to cover? Would you like a continuation of food issues or something on
yes.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
there any other issues that people have out there that like me to discuss? Okay.
I'm all for food, too.
I'm sorry?
It's Linda. Right now, I'm very interested in the topic of food also.
Okay.
Because this is my first teleconference, so.
Okay. All right.
And how to stay motivated.
Oh, okay.
No, that's a good one.
Okay. Can include that.
You get discouraged.
Yeah, I know. I know. Okay, I'm willing to stay on a while longer. Does anybody have any other questions they'd like to ask? Especially somebody who...
Frank. Can I just add one little thing? For the lady that said that she had problems with emails and was questioning whether Yahoo might not work at her work,
right.
This you have a choice of having dealing with the emails, or you can have no emails at all, and just go to the Yahoo group website.
Oh, that's right.
And just read them right on the website, and actually post messages and do everything right on the website.
Oh.
So you know you have your choice. That's what's nice about the way the Yahoo works.
Yeah.
You can deal with as an individual email, say, and just answer that email. You know, or you can go right to the web and do it all online.
Now, I don't...
The instructions, Frank?
What's that?
Will that be in the instructions you're sending out?
Well part of the growing thing on this is, you know, Yahoo has a lot of instructions on how to do it. I will be here, and that's part of my learning curve on this thing is to try to figure out how to answer your questions when you call in on how to do some of these things. And that's the thing to try to bear with us. But if you do have any, like anything else, if you have any questions on how to set any of this thing up or how to use anything, call into the office or send me an email on so we can get this worked out.
Great. Thank you so much.
I'm really looking forward to this. And by the way, checking the emails online rather than receiving them, you are the only person I recommend this to. Because
yeah.
I really think it's important for folks to be receiving the emails. So, you know, it'll remind them on a daily basis that there is support available. And also remind them that there are people in their own community that they belong to that need their support as well. And I think that's really important. Okay, do we have any other questions? Okay, well, I hope everybody has a good week, and we'll come back together again on Sunday,
Barbara?
May 21st. Uh-huh. Who's this?
I'm sorry, this is Jeannie. I was trying to unmute the phone. I did have a question real quick.
Sure.
Okay, I had emailed in a question, and in the very beginning you addressed much of what I had asked. It was mostly about volume.
Right.
And I just want to be clear that what I got from that is the answer to my question. You had talked about, as far as volume capacity at one meal, a cup to a cup and a half at one time is pretty reasonable.
You know, it is reasonable, but honestly, Jeannie, it is, it's really hard to say because you can have a cup and a half of salad and, you know, not feel it at all. But if you were to have a cup or a cup and a half of something denser, like chicken or beef,
right,
you know, that just wouldn't work. So it also depends on the food that you're eating. But a cup and a half of salad, that should certainly be reasonable.
Okay, that makes sense. That answers my question.
Okay.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Okay, all right, anybody else?
Have a great week.
Okay, thanks everybody for being on the line. And I'm really excited about this Yahoo thing, and I hope it's really going to work well, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to give it a try. Okay. So good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.